Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics. Trending.
Number one on what's trending, the news yesterday that the Royals have sent down and optioned Nicky Lopez. We'll find out more from J.J. Pecola, Royals Vice President and Assistant General Manager. He's going to join us 30 minutes from now. But we were wondering, with the way the lineup, frankly, was trending, what the last five, 6 days or so, where Nicky Lopez had not been in the lineup, Kyle Isbell had been in the lineup. And so, look, it was a rough spring for Nicky Lopez at the plate. There's no way around that. Hit 118, had an on-base percentage of 231 in 39 plate appearances. So it was a brutal spring for him. We know he can play defense. That's not an issue. The question has always been his bat. So now he's going to start in the minors, and we'll talk more about him here in just a little bit. But I'm sure it was a decision that there's no way he was surprised about. Doesn't mean it was an easy one, but like considering how spring was going and seeing that first it was Bobby Witt Jr. was getting in the lineup a lot, and then it was Kyle Isbell here at the end, probably had to see a little bit of the writing in the short term. Well, I don't think this is the – we'll talk more about this. It's not the end of Nicky Lopez in Kansas City by any means, but it definitely signals a shift.
Honestly, I'd expect to see him sometime the next month probably at the big league level. Yeah. He's the first call-up at the sign of any injury for this team, just so you know. Someone gets hurt at short, second, center, right. Witt goes to those positions. Nicky comes back into the order, and then they work those things out. But he needed this time to work through his hitting struggles, which I don't think are a mystery to him, if we're being honest.
Of course.
But as far as, you know, in the time I've known Nicky Lopez, incredibly motivated to be better at baseball. So hopefully this is just a step for the kid and not, you know, a big step back. Next up on What's Trending, well, the Chiefs have needed some pass rush help, and they got a little. Jay Reid, who was formerly with the Seattle Seahawks.
You just going to call him Jay Reid?
That's what they call him in Seattle. So I went back and forth a lot on it. That's what they were calling him in Seattle, and that's what his Pro Football reference page refers
to
him.
That's good. I think we'll get there.
Jay Reid.
I think we'll get there. I'm just surprised. You're already there.
Just call him Jaron.
Look, by September, we might be all calling him Jay Reid. Right now, it's hilarious
to me. Jaron Reid. What, I got to call him by his formal name because we haven't met yet? They apparently all call him Jay Reid up there. I'm going informal. We're boys.
Have you ever met anyone that knows him and calls him Jay Reid?
No, but that's what they all refer to him as.
We don't know that for sure. That could just be Twitter speculation.
There are three clips in our system from Seattle radios that all called him Jay Reid.
Is it because they're not sure how to pronounce it, if it's like Jaron or if there's a different way to say it?
What other way would it be?
Well, that I don't know. Jaron? I don't know. Jaron?
No.
I'm just saying, what other way could it be?
I wish we could get Jaron Reid on the show so then we can just intro it and just let you be like, hey, Jay Reid, what's up? I just want to see hear his reaction
to
that.
Is this like a Pat Patrick thing? Fine. Jaron Reid signs with the Chiefs for a one-year deal worth upwards of $7 million with incentives, I think $5 million or so, of which guaranteed. He apparently had some better offers. It's obviously Pastore's help. He has 19 sacks over the last three seasons, although that is wildly misleading because it is 10.5 sacks, 6.5 sacks, and 2 sacks. So, like, it depends on the year in which you get Reed's services for how good of a pass rusher he's been, but he's also a good run-stopping defensive end or defensive tackle. Some people think that this could mean Chris Jones could play a little more outside in this upcoming season.
Yeah.
But either way, more pass rush help for Kansas City.
Yeah, and you brought up inconsistency there. That is some of the discussion from Seattle
defensive tackle
about it. But the difference, too, is like they're not asking him to be their defensive tackle. Like, you still have Chris Jones on the roster. It gives you flexibility, and I do wonder what it means for a guy like Colin Saunders long-term. Last year, he was a healthy scratch quite a bit towards the back end of the season. So you start looking at that depth chart. You know, Mike Pinnell was on a one-year deal, so he's a free agent right now. I don't know what his future holds. I would guess he's probably gone. Not back, but you never know. And so you start looking. You've got Dana. You've got Turk Warden. You've got Chris Jones. You've got Jay Reed, as Cody wants us to call him already, you know.
And
you start looking through it.
Spec, and it seems like
Colin Saunders might be the odd man out at camp. I think he'll make it to camp, but he's got to wonder about that.
Remember when we got we got Kyle Long. Uh-huh. Sometimes the new signees.
Call him K-Long? You call him K-Long?
As we are the official K-Long broadcast partners of the Kansas City Chiefs, sometimes we get new players when they sign deals. I'd like to officially request
Jay Reed. At least when we had Kyle Long on, you didn't say, hey, K-Long.
I actually looked up his Pro Football Reference.
Who?
Just before.
Jaren Reed.
I looked up his Pro Football Reference, and it says J. Reed. So, you know.
Yeah, but in fairness.
I don't call him Christopher Jones. He's Chris Jones.
Well, yeah, but that's not the same thing.
I don't call you Alexander Gold.
No, that's not. Jaren Reed's
You're
not.
Alex
not,
Gold.
Jaren's not short for anything. That's just his name.
Well, just because his name doesn't normally shorten to something you're familiar with in your normal Anglo-Saxon life doesn't mean Jay can't be short for Jaren.
I'm laughing because I think we're going to get there eventually. It's just that today it's already Jay Reed for you.
Like
Mahomes' Pro Football Reference page lists Showtime, Magic Man, the musician, Patrick
Nobody
the Gunslinger,
Patrick.
Or Mahomeboy. Okay? I don't think Cody's saying, hey, don't forget on the drive coming up on Mondays during the football season, the Magic Man is joining them. Like, what?
No one calls him that.
What?
Jay's normal. That's not like a one somebody didn't call.
What? The Magic Man?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, next up on What's Trending, the Elite Eight.
Jaren Reed from here and out, I guess.
Starts up tonight. 12-seed Oregon against Oregon State. 12-seed Oregon State against 2-seed Houston. And then the late one, can't wait for this one tonight. 3-seed Arkansas, 1-seed Baylor. Should be a really good basketball game. Trip to the Final Four on the line. And then tomorrow, the other two Elite Eight games. 6-seed USC will take on the 1-seed Gonzaga. And then how about 11-seed UCLA? What a game and what a win in overtime over Alabama. They will take on a Michigan team that looked incredible. Yesterday, and that one's a late tip-off tomorrow. So, Elite Eight is set. Final Four Saturday and Sunday, Saturday and Monday.
Yeah, we'll get the Monday night game. This whole schedule's thrown me off a little bit.
Yeah, it's weird. That tonight
I get used
is still,
to it. That's how it was, but
yeah, it's weird. Tonight, this thing's going until Tuesday. It's just, it's bizarre.
It's a bit bizarre. Next up on What's Trending, there was actually a hire. Remember, we had told you Indiana had an opening alongside a few other openings that had come around. Well, we thought, you know, Indiana, I told you I would rank them 3 of the big openings that were available. Apparently, they ranked themselves that way, too. That's a bit of editorializing, but they hired a coach over the weekend, Mike Woodson, to a 6-year deal. He's most recently been an NBA assistant coach, former NBA coach, former college coach as well. What the hell kind of hire is this? This hiring stinks for IU. This has the, you know what this feels like for IU? It feels like a guy getting a check. Like, it feels like a guy who's 63 years old and he wants one more good fat check.
I
went to
Mike
Indiana
Woodson.
To take it. It doesn't make sense for them. It's not a good hire.
I think my issue with it is, A, he's never coached in college, so that's why there's reports that, Thad Mata might join them on the staff. And then he's 63, so even if he does have success, it's not like he's there for 10 years. You know, so
the last time he was a head coach was 2012-14 with the Knicks.
Good for him, though. I have nothing against him.
Ooh, weird job.
I don't like the hire.
They think they're going to be more appealing because they got a former NBA guy there? Is that what it is?
Because I sure know when I want to hire coaches, I want to go off that NBA New York Knicks coaching tree because so much so much success there with the Knicks recently. That's where I want to go.
Look, sometimes guys who are college coaches who went to the NBA came back and were good college coaches. Like Patino, right? Like we've seen this work.
Yep.
But not just he was an NBA coach the entire time, and now he's just going to coach Indiana? It seems weird. I mean, whatever, but it seemed weird.
Next up, you know, the boat that's been stuck in the canal
this
for
is big,
what,
trending
a week? Has been a week?
The Evergreen?
The Ever Given is
or
free.
Ever given,
yeah, the Ever Given is free as of this morning. So the canal's open back up. A big, big announcement. What were they? It was $60 billion worth of goods had been delayed since this all started. $60 billion. Whoops.
Woo! Serta, that's why he had to wait extra time for those sunglasses he wanted that matched snowfall.
Oh, I saw the photo. Those came in quick, by the way. Those were definitely already in the States.
Imagine being the people that, like, steer that ship.
And crash it? Oh, my God.
Here's what, like, here was the items that were on the boat that got stuck. Coffee, some cars, IKEA furniture. There you go. So those are the items that are going to be delayed a little bit.
Do you imagine? Like, we did a random question, which is the worst thing you've ever done at a job. And, like, mine's pretty bad, but it's not caused $60 billion worth of economic delays bad.
There was also, of course, all the other ships that were delayed. So live animals and crops and cement and all kind. I mean, it impacted everything. So we'll all feel that coming here pretty soon, I'm sure.
Last on what's trending is the sound fades. Tano Passanio, gone!
Oh.
2-year deal headed to the Saints.
Okay. All right. Good for him. 2-year deal. Nice. Good for him. Got a 2-year deal.
I mean, I would have been fine if Tano Passanio came back on
either way.
A 1-year deal, but he got 2 years from the Saints. That seems fine too.
Hey, coming up in
another reason to like the Jay Reid deal.
And by September, we'll all be calling him Jay Reid.
Yeah, then we're all coming back to this conversation.
We will. No, like I said, it's just less than 24 hours after a deal.
I was trying to decide what to go with. It was going to be Jaren or Jay.
Is Jaren hard for you to say? It's just
no. I just thought Jaren that he Reed. Would. I think he might more commonly go by Jay Reid.
Okay.
So I thought, why would I call him Jaren? It's like calling you Alexander.
Yeah, but
like
if
it turns out, like, I don't know that about him. I know I don't know that about Jaren Reed yet. But
it
seems like that's the
I'm
vibe.
Just laughing because, like, Levine will call Tyreek Reek, which I think is.
Okay, well, I'm not doing that. Don't lump me into that. Don't toss me in this.
That's my point, though. So, like,
these are not the same.
It's different if you're a teammate of his.
Sure.
It's just funny.
I'll call him Jaren until future reference.
There we go. We're 20 minutes away from your next chance at $1,000 international cash contest. And also, JJ Piccolo is going to join us, Royals Vice President, Assistant General Manager. We'll talk to him about that news that we'll talk about right now, between ourselves at least, and that is Nicky Lopez not on the opening day roster. He was optioned to AAA, but we don't really know, last JJ, where he's actually going to go here in the short term. We know the Arkansas site. In Northwest Arkansas site is the alternative area that maybe that's an option. Maybe it's just extended spring. We'll find out from JJ Piccolo. But I was actually surprised by the move. I think it's the correct decision considering what spring has looked like from Nicky Lopez. Yeah. And it's not as if last year he was hitting the ball great. He just played it, had a nice glove for
you. Gold glove caliber.
Very, very good glove. I was surprised they did it because if we back up a little bit and we think about the hype around Bobby Witt Jr. and then to find out that he wasn't going to be on the opening day roster, I thought, oh, at that point, it seemed pretty clear to me, maybe a platoon with Alberto. Again, we're talking about Hanser Alberto, not Alberto Mondesi, because we always have to clear that up. But
Adalberto, Alberto.
Yeah.
You know, it's confusing.
So I think if you're looking at how that transpired, I would have said, oh, they'll probably give a month for Nicky Lopez in the majors and then see what happens and then go from there. That's obviously not happening anymore. So I was a little surprised that that's how it went down. But it seems to be, if you look at the reasoning behind it, which is clear offensively, it allows you on opening day to put out a better lineup. And that's what you're able to do now, assuming, we assume that Kyle Isbell should be the guy that benefits from this the most, based off of the lineup having him in right field and Witt playing a lot of second base recently.
I think it's probably a net defensively too, as in not a loss, but not a win. Like, you would say, okay, Nicky Lopez was up for a gold glove last year at second base. We love Witt. He's going to join us every single week.
Yeah.
He's not been nominated for a gold glove yet. Right. So you'd be like, okay, is he the same, similar? Let's call it a slight downgrade at second base defensively. Okay. Well then it would be, is it like, now I feel like I'm picking on Witt. Is it a slight upgrade for Kyle Isbell to play a more natural position for him at right field, a guy who, you know, some in the organization would say maybe he can play center field? Like, to me, it's like you're about the same defensively. One way or the other, you're about the same defensively. Losing Nicky's glove at second hurts, but I think when it all kind of shakes itself out across the diamond, everyone's at a more natural position. Witt's at a more natural second base. Kyle Isbell's at a more natural right field. Dozier's at a more natural third. Benintendi and Taylor are at good positions. Santana, like, everybody is not pressing for a position. And if you go into the spring, remember when we were talking about Bobby Witt Jr. and Dade Moore, he said he didn't want to force Bobby Witt Jr. into trying to play second base, an unnatural position for him, at least a position he's untrained in here in the early going. So to me, it's simply the bat. And I, like, Nicky needs his time. Like, he's got a .279 on base percentage in his career, a .228 batting average. To be honest, that's not way different than Hanser Alberto's, the guy who's going to be on the roster. But typically when teams have one guy is an option, one doesn't.
Yes.
And one guy they still plan on having a future with and one they don't. That doesn't mean but Alberto's not a long-term plan for them. They still hope Nicky can be a part of the long-term plan. They still want him to be a championship caliber player who plays excellent defense. Alcides Escobar was not a great hitter for a majority of his career. He did have a great year in 2015. His best year as a hitter was in 2015, but he wasn't a great overall offensive player. But he got better, and I think that that's what this move is about. It also signals probably that they believe in Kyle Isbell quite a bit because they're willing to put a guy in who hasn't played double A ball into the majors. We might have talked all the time with Bobby Wood Jr. I don't think anybody realizes
I mean,
Kyle Isbell has not played in any higher level minor leagues.
Yeah, all the discussion was about Bobby Wood Jr. And then look, it seems like we would be surprised almost at this point if it's not going to mean that Kyle Isbell's the opening on the opening day roster. Which
Wilmington was the highest he had played.
Yeah, I mean, it says a lot about what he's been able to do in spring training and in this past offseason. In fact, this was Kyle Isbell yesterday talking about whether or not he feels he's ready to compete at the major league level.
Yeah, I feel like I'm ready. The guys we have at the had at the alternate site, I think that we have some of the best young arms in all the minor leagues, and being able to compete with them every day was a battle, and we all got better. They got better, we got better as a whole, and it was a great experience.
Add him to the list of guys that benefited from the alternate site where they went up against, you know, the Daniel Lynch's and Kowars, and Brad Keller was down there for a little while, right?
Junis coming back from injury.
So that's maybe a part of the development for him.
Well, if you go back, like Kyle Isbell hit .233 in A-ball in like 60 games, .226 on base percentage. That's not better than what I just told you Nicky did in the majors. But it's like it's recent development. Like he raked in the Arizona Fall League. He got raved about in the offsite, like very similar to Bobby Witt, right? Played really well in the Arizona Fall League, played really well in there, and has now played great in spring training to go with it. But he's still like a very, like I would warn this about Isbell. He is still very much an unknown. I don't know how well he'll hit at the major league level. I know he'll run the bases well. I know he'll play good defense. I know those things about Nicky Lopez. I know those things. I don't know how well he'll hit. Like, I don't know that he'll stay up all year because largely it'll be based on can he hit? Because if Nicky is all of a sudden doing great in AAA and Isbell isn't, guess what they're going to do? Flip-flop, right? They're going to switch.
Yep.
They're going to swap one guy out for the other. So, like, Isbell is still very much an unknown, but he looks like he has grown dramatically as a player since 2018. And he was hurt. He was hurt for some of that time when he was missing time in those early stages, too.
I think it also...
He raked before that
season. Probably makes things tougher if you're a Royals fan that wants to see Bobby Witt Jr. up sooner. And what I mean by that is, all right, you've got Whit Merrifield, who's now playing second base. Dozier's obviously still at third. Isbell's going to, we think, is going to be the right fielder on opening day. Michael A. Taylor's at center field. Yeah, injuries can happen, but even if they are, to your point, all right, if there's an injury, it means most likely Nicky Lopez is the guy that's up, and so then they would shift. Let's say the injury occurs in the outfield. They could shift Whit back to the outfield. Nicky Lopez comes back up. If it's hard to envision where, barring multiple injuries or some guys really struggling, where Bobby Wood Jr. is getting called up in May, like some people would are hoping for, or perhaps even in early June. Like I think now it probably pushes things back to July or later, if not August. We know September is a no brainer at that point, but is the timeline pushed back because of this development as well? I think so. With the understanding that there could be multiple injuries, and hopefully not, but if multiple guys end up on IL, it changes the whole dynamic.
And, you know, is correctly being pointed out by Lynn Worthy, the Kansas City, he said Isbell was hurt the year he played. You know, I mentioned that very briefly, but he was.
Oh,
he missed
Wilmington?
A bunch of time. Yeah, and he wasn't right before, because it's, you know, it's all the same stuff, like core muscle injuries. And then before that, like all the season before that, he was a really good hitter. Like, but he took a huge leap, obviously, over the last couple of years. And I appreciate Lynn, like, mentioning that. Like, we've gone through, I told you last week, I thought he'd been up sooner. If he hadn't been hurt, I think Kyle Isbell would have already made his major league debut. And last year was a full regular season and all that, because they needed outfielders for a stretch of time there. They are better with Kyle Isbell. That's the best sign of all of this. They've said they want to commit to winning. Well, okay, they signed Santana. They traded for Benintendi. They are now starting with the better offensive player for what I think is maybe a net same defensively as a unit. They're good in different areas or slightly better in different areas depending, but they are still a very good defense in that situation. I don't know. I don't have the full answers if Isbell's ready to hit at the major league.
We're going to find out here.
Put to the fire quick.
And we'll talk more about that with J.J. Piccolo. He's going to join us in about 12 minutes or so, Royals Vice President and Assistant General Manager. As far as the NFL, there's an announcement that is coming this week, and it's been speculated for really a couple months, and now it seems as the owners in the NFL will vote on it this week, and that is the 17th game we've been hearing all about. We know that 17th game, the opponent, essentially, while not confirmed, multiple outlets have reported that that's the Chiefs and the Packers for the Chiefs situation. So the Chiefs would host the Packers as that 17th game. I think the players, and we've seen multiple players voice their frustration with that, and you have to understand it.
They signed up for it.
Because the physical toll it's going to put on them. But that you said it there a little bit. Like, that issue is when they had the new CBA last March, they had an opportunity, if they wanted to stand their ground on that issue. They chose to stand their ground on other issues, okay? And this is the whole negotiating that the NFL did with them. And so that was something they left the door open to, was we're not saying no definitively for the next 10 years to 70 games. We'll leave the door open here. And so by doing so, you knew the NFL eventually would take advantage. They're doing it as quickly as possible, it sure appears. And here we are, and you're looking at players that are upset about it. But the 17th game, that's what we're going to see for the long haul going forward. They're never going back once they go to 17. We know that. And no. I think there has to be a cap at some point. Like, I think it'd be, you have to reach a limit at some point. We can't be playing 25 football games or something like that. Crazy.
Okay? What is the cap? Is it 18 or is it 20?
Sure. I think 18 is probably where it's at. It's 18. And then there's probably eventually we'll see 40 teams in the NFL, because you'll talk about international stuff. I'm talking like over the next 20 to 50 years. But
sure.
But I think that's headed in that direction. You'll go from 32 to 40, and you'll have 18 to 20 game seasons down the road. And I think the reaction,
70 man roster, Jesus.
Yeah, well, there's where the players might actually agree to it. So yeah, like, yeah. Look, we know the reason behind it. It's all financial. It's all money. That's why the TV deals aren't what they are. But I also think if you're a fan out there, like, I don't get the reaction from a lot of fans if you're not happy about it. So the same thing happened with expanded playoffs. We all looked at it at the time, and maybe people questioned it. But by the time we got to the playoffs, did anybody forget Super Wild Card Weekend, how incredible it was to have three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday? Same thing's going to happen when Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes are going head-to-head probably on a Sunday night football game at some point this season because of that 17th game. Yeah, I'm going to appreciate that. I'm going to enjoy the hell out of that. So I don't have an issue with this whatsoever. I get the players' issue with their own physical concerns. They unfortunately allowed this to happen with their CBA.
Yeah, I mean, if you and I sign up to continue to do Cody and Gold, they're like, hey, we'd like the option to do a fifth hour if we decide. And you and I want to keep doing the show.
Better negotiate that more money.
Yeah, but I mean, it's like, if we agree to it, then they're like, hey, you got to go till three now. I'd be like, damn. I mean, all right, but damn. I wouldn't go to Twitter to complain about it. That doesn't do me any good. like Alvin Kamara, you're like, dude, you signed up for this. Did you vote yes or no on this deal? Like, and if you voted no, at least you have like some room to complain. You'd be like, hey man, this is why I voted no. Now we're all stuck playing 17 football games, and I told you we shouldn't sign this. But as most collectively bargained agreements are, they benefit the majority, not the, you know, not the rich minority at the top of these leagues. Like, that, you know, those new, the 17 game is not designed to be like, make Patrick Mahomes happy. Mahomes would be fine to play 16. Now, look, he's going to play 17, and I do think that it will diminish the product a little bit because
he's probably only playing 16.
You're talking about 30-plus extra NFL, yeah, probably, because of the bye. If you're talking about 30-plus extra NFL games in which players are a part of, I guess it's like 16. Clearly, well, because they play each other, I'm not an idiot. Clearly, when you're putting yourself at significant risk, so there's more likely there are going to be injuries, more long-term injuries, more short-term injuries, etc. I think people will be more mindful for it in the regular season. And I think that, like, when you just know that going into it, you know that it's a risk. But this is also where the NFL's going. Because otherwise you kind of cap what your value as a league is. You eventually have to do something more. We added more playoff teams, and now we've added an extra regular season game. We'll talk to you in 10 years. We'll try to get game 18. Just what they should do is already, it's like, why don't they just, like, make the players happy and go to virtual off-season and two preseason games? And even if you don't want to go to the two preseason games, just go to virtual offseason. Yeah,
part of this deal, they're going to go to three. I don't understand why you can't go down to two. I think eventually
money.
I think
they eventually they can sell it to their season ticket holders.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, well, if you're a season ticket holder, you're forced to buy the game. There's no, like, decision.
Exactly.
Like, you have
that's
to
why
buy
they
it.
Want the game.
I think, though, at some point we'll get down to two. Whether that's 10 years from now when they get to the 18th, I at some point we'll probably see two preseason games instead of three. We clearly know there was no need for four. Like, this past year was great. It was kind of nice on the preseason route, the lack of games that you saw.
Yeah, it was. I don't care. They're fine. They don't need to, like, work out in, like, April either, if we're being honest. Like, Travis Kelce doesn't need mini camp in April to be right in September. You know, like, God, it's not like it used to be. Like, that's always the thing to remember about sports. When they started those, like, off-season training programs, it was still like you needed to show up and drop 20 pounds and actually get in shape. It's not like that anymore. Have you seen, like, did you see the Derrick Henry workout video from last week? He's good to go. By the time August rolls around, Derrick Henry is square. He was doing, like, bench presses on a plyo ball with chains around his neck. He's fine. He'll be all right. He doesn't
try
need to, like,
reenact that one with a fake chain, at least.
He doesn't need to jog in April. He'll be good.
That video was nuts.
That part of the player complaint is more fair. The 17 games, I'm sorry, you signed the deal.
So that's going to happen this week. Probably Wednesday, sounds like. It will be. It could be a done deal from
the NFL. I'm obviously going to watch the extra games.
Rodgers, Mahomes, Chiefs, Packers, heck yes. Cannot wait for that. Hey, coming up next, your chance at $1,000 international cash contest. And we're going to ask J.J. Pecola, Royals Vice President and Assistant GM, what is the move to have Nicky Lopez not on the opening day roster mean for his future? And what does it mean perhaps for Kyle Isbell?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Back here on Cody and Gold. I guess we're going to have to get another pack drop for Top Shot, 1 o'clock today. People always text us and tweet when the next NBA Top Shot pack drop is. 1 o'clock, pre-order packs. There you go. There's your
guaranteed
warning.
Guaranteed to get a pack.
You have two,
it's not a high-dollar moment, fellas.
No, you have 2 days to get in.
But get your skin in the game.
You have 2 days to get in there, too, by the way. So that's coming up at 1 o'clock. But right now, it is your chance at $1,000 in a national cash contest.
Think about how you're going to spend your Top Shot money. Think about how you're going to spend your $1,000 in our Dash for the Cash. Code word this hour is GLOW, G-L-O-W, GLOW. Text that over to 72881. You could be a $1,000 winner in the National Cash Contest. Next chance to win at 1:30. For complete rules, go to 610sports.com. The Cash Contest is powered by BetQL. Let BetQL's proven data and analytics help you become a better bettor. Download the BetQL app today. That was GLOW, G-L-O-W, to 72881.
All right, we'll get to the random question of the day in about 15 minutes or so, but let's head out to the 610 hotline and talk more about the Royals and, of course, their move over the weekend and specifically yesterday to send Nicky Lopez down to the minors. And we go out and welcome in J.J. Pecola, Royals Vice President and assistant general manager for player personnel. JJ, good to have you on the show. You guys ready to get this thing rolling on Thursday?
Yeah, we are. It's been an exciting spring. I think we've played really well, and you get to the end of camp here, and you know the guys are ready to go. So we've been playing good baseball and just ready to start the season.
How much do you try to like look at that stuff individually, JJ, versus as a team? Because we know that spring training results, winning is good. That's nice, but we know that that doesn't always directly correlate to regular season stuff. Like, how much do you guys try to like separate those things for your confidence going into the season versus just, hey, you know, we're number one in the Cactus League, which is not a bad thing, but certainly something you have to like look between the lines on.
Well, spring training is all about preparation and just trying to get players to the levels they're accustomed to performing at, whether it be a pitcher or a hitter. So the primary goal is to get players ready to play the regular season. You know, but at the same time, I mean, these guys, even though they're major league players, they play the game with as much competitive spirit in spring training as they do during the regular season, and you want that from a cultural standpoint. If you're going to have some building blocks of how to build a winning culture, it certainly helps to be winning spring training games versus losing spring training games, because that can certainly leak over. So, you know, I don't think there's necessarily a correlation between the two, but I do think it's impactful to have a positive frame of mind when you break spring training, and winning games does that for you. So it's a balance of both.
Did it feel different for you just being out there, and obviously compared to a year ago where it was COVID impacted everything, but just in terms of the clubhouse, this organization, in the sense that we continue to get leading up to the start of the series, that the season, I should say, that this organization is ready for that next step, to take a step forward?
Yeah, we are. I mean, it's been an odd year. I mean, let's face it, you know, last year was very strange for all clubs. But it doesn't stop us from preparing and talking and trying to improve our team the way we do things. We always want to get better. So over the shutdown last year, we had a chance to talk about a lot of stuff, and then we got to implement some stuff over the summer and then into the season, and then you get to talk about how that worked, and you learn from the protocols and how we can be more efficient in our workouts. And now here we are, you know, at the end of spring training, a successful spring training. You know, we're getting to the last day, which we didn't get to last year. You get to the last day, and you feel good about what's going on, and you're ready to go into the season. So we're in a good spot. We're in a good spot. I think Mike and his staff have done a tremendous job. And, you know, we feel good about the year, and we're getting ready to go.
Speaking with J.J. Piccolo here on Cody and Gold, obviously as a group, J.J., you, Dayton, Scott, and others, had to make the difficult decision yesterday to send Nicky Lopez to start the season at Triple-A. How difficult of a decision was that for you guys? And obviously, I know as an organization, you've had success having guys spend a little more time back in the minors and then come back up. But you know, what went behind that decision? How difficult was that for you?
Yeah, it is tough because, one, we know what Nicky's abilities are, and we know that he can help this team. And, you know, right now he's in a little bit of a funk offensively. He'd be the first one to tell you that. I can tell you that he's done some tremendous work over the last 2 days, you know, in trying to recapture the feeling he had in the batter's box when he was going good. So mentally, he's in a good place. But when you have those conversations, they're never fun. I mean, it's certainly one we didn't expect coming into spring training. But we know Nicky well. We know how he's a fighter and a competitor. And Nicky will get his way back to the big leagues, and he's perfectly capable. And quite honestly, we need him to win ball games. You know, he's too good of a player. So he'll figure it out. He'll get back up, and he'll do a great job for us when the season's all said and done.
How does just the fact, this is for everybody, this isn't just for Nicky, but the alternate site is all you're really going to have, right, for the first month and until we get to May when minor league season starts up?
Yeah, you do have the option of leaving a player back in Arizona or sending him to the alternate site. Ultimately, you know, guys are going to get recalled from the alternate site. So, you know, right now in Nicky's case, we're going to discuss it. You know, he's not going to go to the alternate site right away because there's a little bit of lag time here to start the alternate site. It doesn't start until Saturday, maybe Friday night, depending on testing. But Nicky's going to stay here for a few days. He's a major league player. We'll talk about when's the right time to go to the alternate site. We do have games going on down here in Arizona throughout all week next week, so there's opportunities for him to get at bats. So he's you know, he's a major league player, and we'll work with him and, you know, decide what's the timing of when he goes to the alternate site. But you do have the option of keeping him or any player in Arizona, and right now we think this is the right place for him to be, at least for the next 5-6 days.
I know you guys haven't made any final rosters decisions, JJ, but we know that Kyle Isbell, at least one of the guys in the running for that spot. Give us a little breakdown of what do you think his game is like? I know we've talked over the years about Isbell, but injuries always kind of set him back. How far has he come as a player?
You know, I got to tell you, Cody, he's improving every day. I mean, yesterday I actually watched our game on TV. Another two hard hit balls. Another day of not swinging balls out of the strike zone. Another day of playing good defense. Another day of running the base as well. I mean, it's just every single day, you know, he continues to be like sort of a model of consistency. And it's hard as an organization, whether it be coaching staff, front office, not to notice that and not to know from past experiences what type of players you need on championship teams to win. And he's that type of player. I mean, I kind of chuckled inside a little bit yesterday. He walked by in a black T-shirt with just the word compete on it. And, you know, if there's a word to describe Kyle Isbell, that's it. You know, so he's just done a great job. I mean, we talk about guys taking advantage of opportunities that they're given. With Kyle, it started last spring training. It continued in summer camp. It continued at the alternate site. And it's continued here in spring, so it's hard not to take note of it.
I always thought the willingness for the organizations, the tough decision to let Khalil Lee go in favor of Andrew Benintendi as a big piece of part of that trade, I always thought part of that, JJ, was that how far Kyle Isbell had come along. Is that the way the organization looked at it?
Yeah, we felt like we had depth, you know. So we didn't want, you know, you never want to give up a good player. But, you know, to get a good player, you got to give up a good player. But in having Benintendi that will be in the lineup every day now, and then to know you have somebody like Kyle that can step in at any point was comforting, even giving up Khalil. So, yeah, I mean, I can't say, you know, the move was, you know, dependent or a direct reflection of what we thought of Kyle Isbell, but you do, you know, you evaluate your depth, and, you know, we did have depth there, so it didn't hurt as much as it might have looked.
We know we've seen him the last few days at least playing right field. At some point, if you look longer term into the future, could he be a center fielder for you guys?
Yeah, I think he can. You know, that's been an interesting question that we've asked ourselves, you know, internally a bunch. And, you know, it's a little bit of a split camp, but the more we've watched him, because his reads are excellent, his preparation is excellent. Like, he understands hitters. And he covers ground. And, you know, with each passing day, we're believing more and more that he can play center field. And, you know, it's really sort of a cop-out, to be honest with you. You know, if a guy's not a 70 runner on our grading scale, you tend to hesitate to say he's a center fielder. You know, Kyle's not a 70 runner, but he's close to a 60 runner. And then when you add that to the fact that he gets good jumps and reads, you know, we're starting to believe he can cover the ground out there. It's a big outfield, but we're starting to believe he can do it.
We're speaking with Royals Vice President and Assistant General Manager for Player Personnel, J.J. Piccolo. J.J., I want to ask you about the group on the Major League roster. I feel like looks to have significant improvement from last year. That's the starting rotation. Now, part of that was injury. You guys walked in with, I think, two starters for that 60-game stretch last year. But how much better as an organization do you guys feel like you are with your starting rotation at the beginning of this year than even just, you know, 365 days ago?
Yeah, well, I think it's just a little more experience. And Brad Keller's a year more experienced. Danny Duffy's a year more experienced. More importantly, Brady Singer's a year more experienced. I mean, that's, you know, Mike Minor's a veteran guy, and Mike threw the ball really well yesterday. And then that, you know, that fifth starter is going to evolve. Jake Junis has pitched just outstanding throughout the spring. So, that'll evolve, but, you know, we do feel better. I think when guys are young and they're in a rotation major league, it takes some time for them to get some rhythm and get some traction. But we're at good ages with Brad, Mike, and Danny. You know, there's some experience there. And then the other good thing is we've got some depth in the minor leagues. I mean, we've got some guys that have had really impressive springs. You know, we all have talked about, you know, who they are and what their prospect status is, but they're starting to, you know, probably leave prospect status and sort of enter into major league player here, hopefully sometime during 21. So our rotation is in much better shape. Our starting pitching is in much better shape than it was a year ago.
Maybe he's a little further wrong, but Asa Lacy, you guys kind of started him slow in spring. We've gotten a chance to see the guys like Coar and Lynch really pitch well in spring. What is the plan for Asa Lacy?
Asa will be down here. You know, he'll start pitching in these spring training games. We very intentionally didn't pitch him in spring training. It was more for the experience. It was more, you know, he went to the Kauffman Stadium last year for our fall camp, so he's never even really in Arizona for anything. So just to get a lay of the land, get an understanding of how spring training works, you know, so when he's here again next year, he knows what it's all about, major league camp. But it was very intentional not to pitch him in the month of March, and now that we're getting into games in April, he'll start taking the rubber and pitching competitively against other teams rather than just some sim games on backfields for us.
JJ, I think we made it like 11 minutes or so into this interview and not one single question about Bobby Witt Jr. You know, I at least have to get one question, and we know that he's not going to be on the opening day roster. I'm assuming alternate site for him. And then after alternate site, have you guys made a decision? Is he going to be at Double A, at Triple A?
He's actually not going to the alternate site. He's staying down here. And okay. The alternate site this year is very different than last year. We have a minor league season. Last year, we didn't know what we were going to have. So last year, the alternate site was all about getting, you know, players that can help your major league team and, you know, who you thought your best prospects were. This year, it's completely different. This year, it's truly a taxi squad for the major leagues. We have Bobby Witt Jr. down here. We have Nick Prado down here. MJ Melendez down here. Sully Matias here. Asa Lacy here. So, you know, those guys are going to go through what we're calling co-op down here. So because we don't have enough players ready to play in games because the other minor leaguers are reporting later this week, Texas and the Royals, we're combining for a team. We're going to go play other complexes for the next 12 days, and that's going to be the elite prospects of all these clubs that are running a co-op team. So that's where Bobby's going to be. You know, when the season starts, you know, the May 4th in the minor leagues, he might be in AAA, he might be in AA. But until then, we think the controlled atmosphere, playing against good pitching here, is a place for him to be. And, you know, it's going to be very interesting, very different. You know, one more thing that's very different than what we've done in the past, but we think these guys are moving in the right direction. And then Bobby's going to, you know, pretty much we'll figure out whether it's AA or AAA for him.
JJ Pecola, Royals Vice President and Assistant General Manager for Player Personnel. Thanks so much for joining us here on Cody and Gold. So that's interesting on a couple of things. So first of all, you can tell they're very high on Kyle Isbell. I mean, my goodness. And how
Gushed what might be the way to describe
that. What they said he's looked like throughout spring. And then just how it's going to work for Nicky Lopez and even Bobby Witt Jr. over the next 12 days and then going forward. So he said there, I guess we all assume that Bobby Witt Jr. would probably go like alternate site and then minors.
Stay in Fayetteville,
but he's like, no, he's not going to the alternate site. He's like, it's truly going to be more of a taxi squad in the alternate site this year versus a year ago. And that we still don't know where ultimately Bobby Witt Jr. is going to end up, AA, AAA. They haven't committed to that. But 12 days, how interesting is that? So for 12 days, 12 games or so, the Rangers and Royals are combining an elite prospect squad, essentially, and they're going to go to the different complexes in Arizona and play. Like, look, extended spring has always happened. That's nothing new. But the way that it's going to work this year sounds a little bit different than what they've done.
I'm like fascinated to kind of like, I want to go watch some games. Can I go?
I mean, that's interesting. I mean, think about the top prospects in all the organizations essentially are going to,
I mean, at least in the Arizona based ones, like Wander Franco's not going to be probably.
He's down in Florida. Yeah.
On the Arizona side, but no, it is fascinating. And you asking about center field for Isbell is interesting too, because like you asked me like before the show started, we had a similar conversation about this. It's like, okay, so like, you know, where is the long-term future for Nicky if he's already losing his spot now? So it's like, if Nicky goes back to second, then where does Witt go? Okay, maybe he goes to right, but then where does Isbell go? Can he go to center? Well, it sounds like maybe is the answer to that. Because when Bobby Witt Jr. were to come up, would he go to third? Would he go to second? Where does that put Dozier? And there's a few different ways, like if you're looking a really long-term approach to the Royals. And we don't want to do too much of that because we're 3 days away from opening day. You want to talk about this year's Royals team. But if you look down the road, it's like flexible DH options because Soler's not a long-term contract right now. Benintendi's only under contract for a couple years. Michael Taylor's only under contract for a year. And also, good teams sometimes have a hard time getting all their players on the field, which is a good thing. It means you're deep. It means everybody doesn't have to play 162 games for you to continuously put out a competitive roster. And, oh, you know, injuries happen. That little bug in this whole plan, right? So it's a lot of it is based on that. I've told you in the long term, the Royals do have a bit of a 40-man crunch the next couple of years because of how many young pitchers they're going to need to put on there and how some young position players are going to need to find their way on that list. They're going to have this problem for the next couple of years. Again, a good thing.
Good problem to have, yeah.
But they are... I think JJ knows it too. And obviously they got plans still for Nicky Lopez, I think, to be a part of the big league roster this year.
He called him a major leaguer three or four different times. Like, it seems like he went out of his way to say he's a major leaguer.
Yeah.
Went out of his way.
And we need him to be good in order for us to be good, which I think are not necessarily wrong things, especially because of how good he can be defensively. But from day one, they are a better lineup with Kyle Isbell. And I think the organization probably, that's the end-all decision they came to based on the way everybody's talking.
So thanks to JJ Piccolo for joining us here on the show. Always appreciate his insight when he does so. If you missed any portion of that interview, if you just joined in, of course, you can head to 610sports.com. But let's get to the random question of the day.
Random question.
The random question of the day is brought to you by the Window Source of Kansas City. So for you, Gold, and for you, Certain, over on the J Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610. I want to know what your preferred method to greet different groups of people is. So this is not a one answer. What is your preferred method of greeting for, let's say, a friend group, family, or a stranger? I came to this realization because
where did this come from?
It is a random question. I think I'm anti-hug. I don't want to hug people.
Okay. Yeah. Well, like, not
now. I hug my kids and I hug my wife. And that's really where I'd like to maybe draw the hug line for me. Like, I don't hug my siblings when I see them. Like, when you go to dinner to your family's house and you see your sister, is it a hug greeting?
No.
Because I don't want that.
No. So,
like, that's not for me. I want one of these, like this little hand. Hey, what's up?
Now I see them a lot. No, like when I would come in town, like when I was working in other cities and would come in for the holidays and I hadn't seen my sister or brother-in-law or whatever, that greeting was a hug. But now, like, I was just over there over the weekend. Like, when I walked in, I didn't hug them. I didn't hug them when I left. I was like, hey, I'd hand up like, hey, what's going on, guys? Or I'll see you later. See you guys. Good to see you. See you in a few weeks. See you in a week.
You're not hug goodbyers either?
Not for them because I see them. I see my brother-in-law and my sister, I see him quite a bit.
So I don't see him probably like one of my sisters I see here, you know, a couple times a month, like any other normal sibling interaction. She's always a hug hello and always a hug goodbye.
Always.
And
really?
She knows I dislike it. So she doesn't
Grandparents
like,
are different.
It
too,
doesn't
though,
slow her down.
If you don't hug my grandpa either. Really?
Love my grandpa. Lived with him for like 6 weeks while we were waiting for our house to be ready. We just like we do sometimes hug. I'm not saying we never hug. It was his birthday, like his 90th was last year. I'm sure we gave him a hug. But if I could lower that number generally in my life, I think I'd be okay. I'm not against the handshake, but I got to be honest. In COVID, I haven't missed it.
Yeah, I would say the hugging and stuff is probably way down anyway.
Generally, yeah. But do you miss handshakes? I feel like I used to handshake more.
When would you just handshake, though? Like,
anytime you'd like meet people like a formal gathering.
Yeah, it's the only
how often shake was that, hands though? In like professional settings.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Like, you're not shaking your uncle's hand every time you see him.
No, but like, let's say you ran into like Ryan and I were at that cigar thing,
And I saw you sitting down.
And there was a guy sitting there.
Oh, hey, what's going on, guys? And I would just sit. I wouldn't shake your hand.
No, but like, it was like,
hey, Ryan. Like, hey, Cody.
A listener came up and said he was a fan of the show. Am I supposed to shake your hand? Nice to meet you.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Fair enough.
That's a handshake situation.
No, I bow it now.
This guy.
Bow, fist pump.
Yeah.
Fist pump? You can't do that casually. That's a no good first greeting.
That's a lot of people do that to me now too, which I feel like it's the same thing as shaking hands. You're still touching hands.
It feels a little less intimate in a way.
Yeah, I guess. I'd rather just not touch you at all. To be completely honest,
just say hello.
Yeah, just hey, what's up, man? How's it going? If you're like a listener, like, you know, I saw a listener over the weekend who said hi to me. I was like, hey, what's up, man?
Yeah.
Gave him a bow. Said thanks for listening.
Interesting random question today.
I was just curious. I don't know if you guys are huggers. Do you like hugs?
I hug anybody.
What
about your sister?
Oh, I just say hi.
If you see someone often, no, again, if I hadn't seen a family member in a long time, then it's a hug. Otherwise, like every time you see them, why would you hug them?
Every time my wife goes over to her parents' house, she hugs her dad and hugs him every time. Hello and goodbye. Every time. Like, they like to hug more.
I think it's a grandparent thing, though.
What I'm telling you is our hug standard might be different than others. I hug my kids pretty frequently.
Sure.
But that's really about, but like, will I continue
I guess
that
to answer
forever?
Your question, now that I'm thinking about that, I hug my nephews goodbye on Saturday, but I don't hug anybody else. It's different. It's like old people and young people. Like,
but the kid doesn't even
the
care.
The kids and the old people.
Old people and young people. If you're middle-aged, no hugs.
No hugs.
We don't need to do this.
Someone says, don't let the handshake die on the text line. And someone else says, oh my God, my mother-in-law loves to they meant to say hug, not hung.
Very different.
Hello and goodbye. I can't.
Some people are big kiss on the cheekers.
Oh gosh.
Come on, man.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Like, it feels like at weddings is where you're like forced to awkwardly hug.
This was bad. This one said they had an ex-girlfriend that family hated him the entire relationship because the first time I said, hey, what's up, didn't hug them.
You can't go in for a hug on the first time you meet family members, can you?
That's
too strong.
Depends on the family.
And I guess.
I think you reach out for the hand, and if they like bring it in, then, you know.
Text line's right, though. It depends on where you grew up. Someone's like, maybe it's a small town thing. I think it depends on also where you grew up and what kind of family you grew up into.
I don't know. I do have an aunt.
The handshake thing
with COVID
has changed. COVID's changed a lot of this.
Yeah, I think it's a person-to-person thing, sir. I'm with you. I don't think it's even like family-to-family or region-to-region. I just think some people are more hug types than me.
This question would be way different if you asked pre-COVID, too, because I think that changed a lot of people. And now a lot of people going forward just won't do that in general, like, because they're out of habit of it.
Great. Just great news.
Great.
Really looking forward to it.
There you go. That is the random question of the day. Coming up next, we head to the 1 o'clock hour, and something that's happening in the NFL. Is this hurting the Chiefs or helping them?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.